Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
It is indeed live from the Liberty University studio. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show with executive producer Grace and Claire. I'm Harry Hurley. Filling in today, it's a very big news day on the Todd Starnes Show, and we welcome you. Todd is out today for a very good reason. He's speaking to students at West Coast Baptist College in Los Angeles. Then he'll be addressing teens at the Young Americas Foundation Conference. That's at the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara, California. That is where President Reagan and First Lady Nancy Reagan vacationed. Incredible. Whole big story behind that. There's a definition of the name of the ranch, Sela, which means sky. It's really quite profound. So Todd is doing as usual, doing good work, doing God's work. And we have a lot to unpack, so much going on. I feel duty bound. I know there's been so much discussion. It's 24/7. It doesn't end. But I think when you consider the fact that this is the most significant military moment of truth since World War II. And it's not even, from the Europe perspective, it's not even, that's just not an opinion, it's a fact. And then when you look at where things could go if they go sideways, if this isn't handled correctly. Now, to his credit, Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky, he has said all the right things. He has done all the right things, and he has led from the front. One of our biggest problems, and I've been saying this for a long time, this is now the third week of this, and a lot of people didn't think that Ukraine could possibly still be standing. I think we learned a few things. If you didn't know, the grit, the fight that's in the Ukraine people, look at Vitaly Klitschko, mayor of Kyiv. His brother, oh, by the way, another former heavyweight champion of the world, boxing champion, two of them. Vitaly, some call him Vitaly. He's the mayor. And then you have Vladimir, the twin brother. They're fighting on the front line. They have been extraordinary. And you see all of these examples that no matter what happens, and let's just put the cards on the table face up in a gaming town, you have Vladimir Putin, flat out war criminal. No discussion, no dispute, no nuance, flat out medieval war criminal. He's killing indiscriminately. He's bombing anywhere. He's killing babies. He's killing women. He's killing children. He's killing anyone. Oh, these are your safe routes. You can get out of town. And what they've done in Ukraine is any man below the age of 60 stays and fights. If we took a poll, and we're going to share the results of a very disturbing Democrat-leaning poll, Quinnipiac University. I think it's a garbage poll in general, but wait until you hear the results if you haven't yet on the Todd Starnes Show. In terms of if America were attacked, what would Americans do broken down by political affiliation? And I'm very confident that the incredible intellect of the Todd Starnes audience universe, you'll figure this out without me even having to give you the answers to the quiz, with no problem at all. But you have so many people, if you said to someone, hey, you're 60, you're 70, you're 80, they want to stay and they want to fight. Not because they're fighters, but because they love their country and they love freedom. And they do not want to be. Putin looks at Ukraine as a mistake, as a part of Russia, and Ukraine does not look at it that way. A couple of things happened over the past 3 weeks. A little bit like Saddam Hussein, who the world thought had a mighty military, and he hid in a what they called a spider hole. He dug into the earth and put a lid over his head and became subterranean to hide from the American military. And we showed that he had nothing. He had Baghdad Bob announcing there's no American presence in Iraq. And now you have Vladimir Putin, I believe, completely exposed. Now, when you look at everything, airplanes, tanks, every single metric, Russia has 10 to 1. Ukraine has 125 planes, and we need to get them more. This nonsense of, well, we can't have them here because then that'll bring us into it and all this. Come on. This is weeks now. All Zelensky keeps saying is, I don't need troops. I need ammunition. I don't need a ride. I need the equipment. They've got the pilots. They're not asking for troops. Not at any turn have they asked for troops. Something happened this morning which was extraordinary, and if you didn't have the opportunity to watch it, I'll try to, radio is a theater of the mind, and here on the Todd Starnes Show, I'll try to paint a mosaic, a nice little picture for you. Vladimir Zelensky, president of Ukraine, in an address before the United States Congress. Now, it's true, by using technology of today, it's virtual. It's not December 26th of 1941 and Winston Churchill speaking before a joint session of Congress, but it's being compared as the most consequential moment. Now, if you remember either firsthand or historically, December 26, 1941, Churchill flies to America to address a joint session of Congress, to call on the Americans, the American military, and everyone to get together, because now America has been attacked. Before September 11th, 2001, the most significant terrorist attack in American history was the Japanese attacking Pearl Harbor. This happened about just under 3 weeks prior to Churchill's address before the Congress. And America, President Roosevelt, America was avoiding entering World War II. To be frank, I believe that President Roosevelt led from behind. You don't want to go to war if you don't have to. And of course, once we were literally attacked, we're now in World War II. Churchill, if you ever have the opportunity to watch it or to read it, delivered one of the most profound speeches. It was unifying, it was triumphant, and it was at a very early stage. Churchill didn't know. Could World War II end in 1942? Could it end in 43? Could it end in 44? I will tell you, my father served in World War II, a Bronze Star Medal recipient. A very tough battle in the Philippines, Battle for Cebu, it was called, C-E-B-U. So that war was going on well past what Churchill was thinking would be the end. And of course, we know that the Greatest Generation saved the world, and there were those who believed that that would be that. But of course, they were some of the same people that believed that there would never be a World War II after World War I. What Churchill reminded the United States Congress was that after World War I, he didn't use these terms, but I'm going to just say it this way, we didn't remember to remember to stay united. Now, of course, we had the special relationship and all of that was intact, but we didn't remember to remember to stay united so that we wouldn't have to fight again like this. And I think most objective observers, you have to look at what's happening now in Ukraine and say that if that is not dealt with properly, I don't know anyone who believes that that's all that Vladimir Putin wants. And then what would be next? And if you attack a NATO nation, if he were to continue, look, he's bombing within a few miles of Poland, probably as we speak. Probably bombing during the 35-hour curfew that is in effect right now. But the Zelensky speech today, which got a standing ovation, and I have to give him credit because he's fighting for his life. He's fighting for his country's survival. And he came out and he said it. And let me share with you some of the words that he had to say in this, what I believe will be written about as a truly historical moment in history. He ended the speech, and it was so brilliant. The whole speech was done. He's speaking his language, and then a translator. And you know the expression, lost in translation. It's not as powerful. It's not the same. Somebody saying what you said isn't the same as people hearing and seeing you say what you say. And Zelensky, who has experience in front of the camera, perfect timing, ended his speech in English by basically, and I believe the president of the United States was not supposed to speak today. That was just the way the schedule was. He was not addressing the country, and he wasn't going to be heard from. I'd be surprised if we don't hear from President Biden by the end of the day, because President Vladimir Zelensky called him out in no uncertain terms. When he said in English that America is supposed to be the leader of the free world, what is it? I mean, he did it with a velvet touch of sorts, but also pow, right between the eyes. I don't think there's, or could a K-wham right between the eyes. He said, America is supposed to be the leader of the free world. If you can't establish a no-fly zone, then please give us the planes we need to defend ourselves. They've been trying to get the planes for weeks. If they were given in advance what they needed, they would have taken the Russian army. I have no doubt about that. Zelensky didn't end it there, though. He said, I'm 45 years old, but my life ended when 100 children were murdered by a brutal dictator. He punked out the American president in front of the United States Congress and in front of the world. And if you have the opportunity, take a few minutes and you won't regret having done that to view the video that they put together. He so eloquently outlined the American experience, more so than you hear from members of our own Congress. And look, we have some pretty fabulous ones and we have some very radical, horrific ones. I mean, for example, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez refers to Israel, one of our greatest allies, as Palestine's opponent. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you have within the American Congress. Zelensky was masterclass. And I believe that what he did was so compelling that President Biden, who has already blocked, I believe they had 26 MiG-29 planes that Poland wants to give to Zelensky. And we are wasting weeks. How in the world the president is going to go to Brussels in 8 days? What can you imagine what could happen over the next 8 days? There has to be a sense of urgency. If you're not going to lead, and our president, and I regret this, I regret to say this, he is leading from behind. Europe has been way out in front. Even Germany, which is hard to believe, Olaf Schmidt has been leading from the front. Much more to share with you. We'll be back right after this. This is the Todd Starn Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show with Grace and Claire. My name is Harry Hurley, filling in today for Todd. Todd is speaking to wonderful students in two different locations in California, and he'll be back real soon. Two things I want to get in before the bottom of the hour break. Then we will be joined by Congressman Jody Heiss. What a resume to talk about what's happening right now to a member of Congress whose mother... I mean, it's just beautiful. We'll get to that. And that's actually going to be with Congressman Harris a little bit later in the program. But we're going to be speaking to Congressman Heiss next. And he was there during the address by President of Ukraine, Zelensky. And we're going to just break it down coming up right after the bottom of the hour break on the Todd Starnes Show. Two things I want to get in before then. The Quinnipiac University poll, this is a very liberal polling outfit. I always look at their numbers and marvel at how it seems as though every single time the numbers favor any Democrat over any Republican. And I'm not a fan of the poll, but I'm glad that they polled the question. What Quinnipiac University did, and they released the results this past Monday, just in case you haven't heard about this yet, they polled the question, and they did it by political party affiliation. What would Republicans and Democrats do if America was to be attacked like Ukraine has been attacked? 68% of Republicans said they would stay and fight. Not surprised. Not surprised at all. I think the number's probably a little bit higher. 40% of Democrats responded that they would stay and they would fight. 52% of Democrats said they would flee the country. Only 25% of Republicans said they would flee the country. When you tie the independents into it, a majority overall in America, 55% say they would stay and fight. 38% say that they would leave the country. But because I've always believed, and it's sad, and the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic proved this, everything in America is political. Whether it's your daughter getting on the cheerleading squad, your son or daughter getting on Little League, starting or on the bench or not on the team at all, everything is political. And we learned that during the pandemic. And you still have, even with every expert saying that we're transitioning from pandemic to endemic, you still have blue states worshiping their mandates and their mask wearing and all of these different things. Very, very telling. When we come back, we will be joined by a member of what I call the 435 Club, a member of the United States House of Representatives, Representative Jody Heiss. A lot to talk about, and Congressman Heiss was there today, and there's a big difference. I can't wait to hear the congressman explain the monumental moment of hearing from a world leader at a time of war. It is extraordinary. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show with Grace and with Claire. I'm Harry Hurley, filling in today for Todd. He is giving two different speeches before wonderful students in California at two different locations. He'll be in Los Angeles speaking to the West Coast Baptist College, and he'll be speaking to the Young America's Foundation Conference at the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara, California. Again, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. And appearing right now on the Todd Starnes Show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is one of the greats in our House of Representatives, Congressman Jody Heiss, who took office in 2015 as the representative of Georgia's 10th Congressional District, serves on the House Committee on Oversight and Reform and the House Natural Resources Committee. And for the current session, he serves as ranking member of the Subcommittee on Government Operations for the Committee on Oversight and Reform. And he was, of course, present during this morning's address to Congress by Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky. Congressman Heiss, welcome to Todd's program.
Great to be with you, Harry. You're doing a super job. I know Todd will be very proud of you. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the job that you do. Now, I understand that this is not December 26, 1941, and it wasn't Winston Churchill speaking before a joint session of the United States Congress a couple of weeks after America was attacked and entered World War II. But this speech today, a lot of people, myself included, we've been saying this is a very monumental moment and sort of reminds us of that kind of moment in history. Do you agree?
Yeah, it was a powerful speech. You know, if you're going to go back and make some of that historical context, it's kind of interesting that on the other side of the spectrum here in the White House is one who could be compared to Chamberlain on the other end, whose leadership is extremely weak and has a philosophy of appeasement, somehow thinking that will cause the enemy to stop or slow down. And, you know, so you've got strong leadership in Zelensky versus very weak leadership here. And you know, I think President Biden is going to be pushed into a corner to actually have to do something, which is going to get him out of his comfort zone for sure. But listen, we are the leader of the free world. And for us not to be taking leadership at a time of global crisis like this is simply inexcusable.
I agree with you, Congressman Heiss. It's not to be disruptive to our president. I mean, I want to support him, but he's been so slow. He's been late on everything. I mean, you go back, how could he say he knew this was going to happen, but we didn't get Ukraine what they needed? They're not asking for troops, but they need the planes, they need ammunition, they need the weapons. I believe if we had properly armed them and if we would have led up front, we knew Putin was coming. I mean, we know the Obama-Biden playbook. You know it all too well. Back in 2014, Obama-Biden sent blankets while Putin was doing what he was doing and annexing Crimea and so on. So we knew what he was going to do, and we didn't get Ukraine what we could have and what we should have. And I think about what we left in Afghanistan for the Taliban, and this guy wants planes. We're not going to give them to him, but we got in the way. And I'm saying that generously. The president found a way to, oh, no, you can't have the planes either, and we're not going to give them to you, but Poland wants to give them to you, but you still can't have them. He's actually been a hinder to them.
Well, that's exactly right. And in fact, he did this twice last year, I believe October and again in December, at least twice. I may have the months wrong, but we tried to send even then some aid to Ukraine, knowing that this was all coming. And both times, President Biden refused to allow those funds and aid and military help to go to the Ukraine. And now we find ourselves in this situation. You know, everything rises and falls on leadership. And you look at the situation now, the current situation, there is no way, and everyone knows this, we wouldn't be here if we had someone like President Trump still in the White House. And yet we don't have that type of leadership. And as a result, not only the debacle in Afghanistan several months ago, but now we have this situation. We have China on the verge of tromping on Taiwan. You've
yep.
got a horrible Iran deal that's being made. I mean, it's just a global disaster. And you look at it, it all rests on a lack of leadership, an enormous vacuum that we have in authentic leadership in our country right now.
Could not agree more. You're listening to United States Congressman Jody Heiss. When I said one of the great ones, that wasn't to be kind. It's true. He is appearing on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show, and we're obviously talking about Russia-Ukraine. How does this grab you, Congressman Heiss, that we're about to sign on to some – we know it in advance – because if Iran is willing to sign it, it's got to be garbage. And we know what they did the last time, the pallets of cash and the whole deal. This is unbelievable stuff. And we're going to have this happen a second time, it looks like. We're going to pay the world's worst sponsor of terror, who was really in a bad way until Obama Biden sent them all those hundies and euros and such on that secret plane to just get them fat and happy again. So we can't even negotiate, Congressman Heiss. We have the Russians, who we say you can't even do business with, but yet they're in the room negotiating for us. I say you can't make this stuff up if you tried. Your comment to that?
Well, yeah, you can't. I mean, how in the world, why in the world would we allow Russia to be the negotiator of a nuclear deal with our enemies? We have two of our enemies, one creating nuclear weapons, the other negotiating the deal, and we're virtually absent from the table. It's like, not only does this not make sense, and not only can you not make this stuff up, it almost comes across as an intentional effort to undermine our own country.
Yeah.
And I cannot fathom why this type of consideration is even taking place, let alone actually happening.
Yeah, you can't take a deal when you're not even in the room. I mean, you're going to ask and then ask them this. Oh, okay, but can you ask them this? Because I can't, but you can do it. I mean, it's childlike. It's an insult to say it's childlike. Full disclosure, President Trump was my former boss, and he is my friend. But I'm speaking the truth. I agree, Congressman Heiss, what you said a few minutes ago on the Todd Starnes Show. This would not be happening right now if President Trump were in office. The reason we know that is because it did happen when Obama Biden were in. It did not happen for 4 years of Trump. And then 5 minutes later, because, you know, Putin was working on it, the moment he saw the weakness of Biden, he got right on it. I mean, so I don't even think we have to say it's our opinion. That's not a coincidence that Putin didn't look sideways at Ukraine for 4 years, because he knew. He knew what President Trump was capable of.
Well, that's right. We have a track record to give evidence to that position that this would never be happening under Trump. We never, North Korea had stopped testing missiles.
Yep.
China was in place. We didn't have any of this type of thing, none of this type of stuff happening under the leadership of President Trump, because he understood peace through strength. And the current occupant of the White House does not embrace that worldview, unfortunately. He thinks that some way in fairy tale land, there's a such thing as peace through weakness, peace through appeasement, and it simply is a false narrative, a false reality that he's living in. And not only President Biden, but the entire Democratic Party here in Washington, D.C., for the most part, embraces that type of worldview. It's dangerous to our country. It's dangerous to the world. And it simply cannot and will not be successful as we continue to hold on to that type of erroneous thinking.
You're listening to United States Congressman Jody Heiss on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line on the Todd Starnes Show. And we have about, let's make a count, about 5-6 minutes with the congressman. How, I don't believe in coincidences. How big a role do you think not only was Putin watching, but President Xi and the rest of the Legion of Doom, the Batman villains, they were all watching what President Biden did in Afghanistan, creating an order that never in the history of this country has any commander-in-chief ever done. You would never take the military out first, not secure or get your equipment out, and leave Americans and get out. I mean, the whole order was completely bizarre. I think that had a bearing on Putin feeling like he could get aggressive here. Your thoughts?
Oh, there's no question about it. And just for, again, the true picture here, our office is still engaged to this day trying to get Americans out of Afghanistan. And to this day, we still continue having problems with cooperation from the State Department under the Biden administration. Why? Why in the world would we forsake and abandon Americans in a terrorized country like that? Why would we leave $85 billion of the best military equipment in the world in the hands of our enemies? I mean, the whole thing makes no sense whatsoever. But no question, China was watching, Russia was watching, and now we are all watching the consequences of this embarrassing leadership that we have on the world stage.
Congressman Heiss, I want to get your interpretation. I shared mine right before you arrived on the Todd Starnes Show. When President Zelensky, at the end of the speech, went from translator to speaking English himself and said that America, key word here, is supposed to be the leader of the free world. If you can't establish a no-fly zone, then please give us the planes we need to defend ourselves. He then said, I'm 45 years old, but my life ended when 100 children were murdered by a brutal dictator. I say he dropped the gauntlet today on President Biden.
Oh, there's no question. No question about that. In fact, I noticed right away when we came back from the video that he showed that he was speaking himself to the members of Congress in English. In fact, I texted my staff right then saying, wow, he's gone from a translator to speaking in person.
Yep.
And it's powerful, you know, and it really was. America is not only supposed to be the world leader, America has always been the world leader. And it's, again, inexcusable that we are not continuing to take the lead role in standing up for and defending liberty and freedom lovers around the world. And look, I fully understand that this situation has to be dealt with extreme caution. We are potentially walking on eggshells as it relates to a potential third world war, mm-hmm. and we've got to be very cautious in the way we deal with that. But that being said, we must at the same time continue to exhibit leadership and in this case provide to the people of Ukraine what they need to fight this battle that they are engaged with and to stand and protect liberty in their country, which also obviously impacts all of Europe and for that matter the entire world.
Congressman Heiss, 2-minute drill, and I think this is a really important point for us to conclude with. The president has announced through his spokesperson yesterday he'll travel to Brussels in 8 days. Now, as you know, this is the third week of this. A lot of people didn't believe that they would still be standing. They didn't. They underestimated Ukraine's love of country and freedom and desire to not be part of Russia. And I believe they overestimated the so-called vaunted Russian army. The Russian military, I believe, is left wanting. I think they've been exposed as not as strong as many people thought. I think Putin has a big problem coming out of this. Now, of course, he has air superiority, so he's bombing, you know, medieval bombing and things, killing babies, killing women, killing children indiscriminately. But how is this showing leadership? 8 days is a lifetime It's cold there. They're getting bombed to oblivion. I think this is a terrible signal to tell Ukraine, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll be there in 8 days in Brussels to meet with other world leaders. That's it. That's outrageous to me. Closing comment.
Absolutely. This should have taken place weeks ago. Weeks ago. I mean, as soon as the invasion took place, there should have been a meeting called and start uniting allies to deal with this problem. And even now, this is an emergency situation. Emergencies can't wait 8 days. Emergencies can be called in this age in which we're living on a 24-hour notice. And
yes,
let's meet. Let's get together. And if people can't come live, there's Zoom and other technology available to join the conference. I likewise share your frustration that 8 days, again, is an inexcusable decision at this hour of crisis in our world.
Congressman Heiss, it's a privilege to interview with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Harry. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. That's a special one right there, and that's a lot of important content that you heard from a member of the United States Congress. I mean, that's the people's house. We're not a democracy. We're a representative republic. And you just heard from one of your representatives right here on the Todd Starn Show. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Huge tech companies in America pay next to nothing in taxes, meaning they barely give anything back to the society that made them rich. They may not do a lot of giving, but they sure do a lot of taking. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about how these tech companies enrich themselves by taking your personal data. They grab your web history, email metadata, and video searches to create a detailed profile on you and then sell off that information to the highest bidder. Companies aren't just selling products anymore, they're selling you. You have become the product. Now, to protect your identity and data from these tech giants, I recommend using ExpressVPN every time you go online. Think about all the websites you visit. Facebook, Twitter, Google, everything you do and say online is tracked by these giant corporations using your public IP address. They uniquely match your activity and know your location. ExpressVPN makes you anonymous online by camouflaging your IP address and replacing it with a different, secure IP of your choice. ExpressVPN also encrypts all your data so it's protected from hackers and anyone else that's trying to spy on you. And what I like most about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you're protected. Protect your data with the number one rated VPN provider today. Visit expressvpn.com/starns to get 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/starns. expressvpn.com/starns to learn more.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Harry Hurley filling in today with Grace and with Claire. Todd has dual speaking engagements on the left coast. He's in California, and he'll be back very soon. Let's end. It's been very heavy duty, and we're going to come back strong right after the break. Let's end on, it's not a total light note, but it's not to the degree and the temperature that we were just operating at. The United States Senate, in a move that I totally agree with, and I'm going to back it up in the few minutes that we have before the top of the hour, the United States Senate, and this was easy peasy, unanimous consent. I mean, stuff you never see anymore. They don't agree on anything. Even when they should, they just can't. They can't. It's like some reflex. They have to. If you say yes, the other side has to say no. But wait a minute, you like that. Yeah, but not anymore. You just proposed it. I don't like it anymore. I mean, it's that broken. It's that sick. But on this one, it was unanimous. The United States Senate approved a bill unanimously to make daylight saving time permanent. Let me make the case here. Even if you think it's no big deal, it's just an hour, what does everybody get all lathered up for about this? I don't understand this. Well, I can tell you somebody that wakes up every day at 2 a.m. that Sunday going into Monday is tough. It's tough. And I hear and I read all the things about a day or two or several days after the change, not falling back, but springing forward. You fall back, you pick up an hour. That's not as cataclysmic, if you will. But there are statistics, and I believe them. I'm not qualified to talk about the medical ones, where people have had strokes and heart attacks and have had health issues happen because of it. But I can tell you this, because the statistics are real and they don't lie. Driving at dusk or dark is much more dangerous than driving in the daylight when you can see. An extra hour of daylight during your afternoon drive is a lifesaver. There will be less accidents. There will be less death and other serious injuries because of it. Now, the House is not scheduled to vote yet. I hope they will. And I would believe that the president would sign it. We could be very close. Only Hawaii and Arizona would be exempted. They could stay with the standard time. But this would make daylight saving time permanent in America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Live from the Liberty University studio, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show with executive producer Grace and with Claire. I'm Harry Hurley, filling in just for today. It's a very big day, very big news day here on the Todd Starnes Show. Todd is speaking today in California. He'll be speaking to students at the West Coast Baptist College in Los Angeles, and he will be addressing teens at the Young America's Foundation Conference at the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara, California. That's why Todd is out today, and he'll be back very, very soon. And this portion of the Todd Starnes Show brought to us in part by Patriot Mobile. Now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight causes that you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now. Use the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. Todd, to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadcast nationwide coverage and uses the same towers as the other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for our veteran and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and a free premiere activation by using the promo code Todd. For more information, more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Phone lines are open on the Todd Starnes Show, 844-747-8868. Joining us now is Connor listening from Boston. Connor, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show.
Harry, thank you so much, and you are doing a phenomenal job for Todd. And I'm telling you, I am listening to this beautiful radio station right now from the heart of Boston on the Mighty 99.9 app, and it is just phenomenal, this app.
So fantastic. Hey, thanks for the confidence and the nice feedback. So what's on your mind?
Absolutely.
Let's do this.
So I think right now what we see out of the Biden administration is just an embarrassment to world leadership and to the American people. We have somebody right now who is so concerned about being cautious when it comes to Russia, who is so concerned about his own polls, that he is not doing the right human thing and also the right thing by both our European partners and the American people. It's like whenever this should have – the fact that this has even happened in the first place, Gary, with Russia, is just a failure on his foreign policy. It's like clearly they were not taking the intelligence. Clearly they were not looking at the threat Russia posed. And clearly they were not providing the Ukrainian people with the tools they needed to defend themselves. And they're not going to do it now. It's just, this is the type of leadership we have in Washington right now. And it's just, it's such a contrast to where we had with President Trump, where when you had like the Syrian people, you had chemical weapons attack. The president responded in like 48 hours by destroying an airfield. You did not mess with President Trump, but clearly you can mess with President Biden.
Oh, we saw it. I mean, Connor, there's no question about it. Obama, Biden, Putin is provocative and attacks Ukraine. Nothing for 4 years. Biden's back right away. Here we go again. Putin attacks Ukraine. He watched strength and he acted accordingly, and he has watched weakness and he responds accordingly. It's very, I think it's provable.
Of course it is. And it's funny how, you know, there are so many people out there in the media who said President Trump was a puppet of the Russian government, when in reality, who do you think Russia would want in the White House? A strong leader or a weak leader?
Yeah, well, and you, Connor, you know this. Remember what they say about you, they are guilty of. It's total transference. It's the game that they play. Connor, we want to get a few more phone calls in. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for the kind words. Back to the busy phone lines on the Todd Starnes Show. Steve is in Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on the mighty powerful KWAM app. Steve, welcome to Todd's program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to offer a differing opinion on this time change thing.
Yeah, please.
You had commented on how it's so nice to have an extra hour of daylight for your drive home.
Yes.
You know, daylight savings time doesn't affect drive time between, say, 4 and 6 p.m. Okay, the sun's going to be up now until 9 o'clock at night, which is ridiculous, but even more to the point.
No, in the wintertime.
I worked in...
Steve?
Yeah.
Steve, in the wintertime... It is the difference.
People like me who build houses in the wintertime and they have to stand around, sit in our cars until 8 or 8:30 when the sun comes up.
All right. So, look, let me talk for a second, Steve. That's why it's very reasonable to have a difference of opinion. Listen, I'm up at 2 in the morning. It's always dark for me. That was a comment based on the statistics, based on traffic crashes. For whatever reason, the traffic crashes are not as prevalent in the morning as they are at that dusk, that dark time of the morning when the sun is first rising, as they are at the end of the day, for a lot of reasons that we don't have time to get into. It's just the statistics that say that. It's not.
Okay, so
it doesn't matter for me either.
Don't change it.
Well, it's better to keep...
Fall back and have dark mornings. And,
well,
and
I'm not for that either.
Until 9:30 at night. This is,
yeah, I'm not for that either. I am for
with the previous caller.
Yeah.
How screwed up the government is that they messed up even this.
Well, I'm for sticking with one. Which would you prefer? Standard time always?
Standard time always, because the sun's up when you get up, and the sun isn't up until 9:30 at night during August and July. It's just it's so stupid. And these are the people that we trust to fix things in Ukraine. They can't even get the time frame right.
Yeah, I could live with staying with either. But and I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for checking in. We're going to take one more call before we must go to break. And we have a great guest that's going to be dropping by in just a little bit. Congressman Andy Harris. What a story. His mother is from Ukraine. Hey, Joe, you're in Virginia listening to the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome. You're on the air.
Welcome. They told me not to use any profanity, which I don't usually do that anyway.
Thank you.
But
thank you for your good judgment. You're already a great caller.
The only person that I've heard talking any sense at all is Tucker Carlson. So you can lock me up if you want to. But if Zelensky wants nuclear weapons, I guess you want to give him nuclear weapons. Okay, it would only be fair if you put some nuclear weapons in Cuba, too, so we can have a nuclear war.
What I do want to talk about a little bit later in the program, Joe, is this spin that this Biden regime between the president. Let me finish real quick. Real quick, Joe. Let me get this in real quick. You've got the president. You have the president's press secretary, and they're doing every trick in the book.
Anybody
they're calling. Let me finish. They're calling people Putin wing of the Republican Party. There's nothing like that. And Joe, we've got to run to break. So thanks for the call. But I just want to squeeze this in real quick, Joe. It's important. This using TikTok with younger Americans. Indoctrination. inculcation. It's happening. Propaganda, disinformation. We had runaway inflation long before Putin was on the radar screen. We had unbelievable problems in this administration long before Putin's invasion, his full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Every penny that a gallon of gasoline costs more than it should takes $1.5 billion out of the American economy. Think how high that number is right now. And the runaway inflation and high gas prices were well on their way before any of this. Don't believe them. They're lying to you. We'll be back with Congressman Harris in just a little bit. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show with Grace, executive producer extraordinaire, and Claire. My name is Harry Hurley. Filling in just for today, Todd is speaking in California, two different speaking engagements before the West Coast Baptist College in Los Angeles, and then Todd will head over to the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara, California, where he will be addressing teens at the Young America's Foundation Conference. Two very important speaking engagements. And I'm telling you, having the opportunity to speak to young Americans is so important, especially with what this administration is doing with the different platforms and this indoctrination that's going on that we talked briefly about in the last segment. Joining us now on the Todd Starnes program, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, is United States Congressman Andy Harris, a son of immigrants who fled communist Eastern Europe immediately after World War II. Dr. Andy Harris was a physician at the distinguished Johns Hopkins Hospital, a medical officer in the Naval Reserve, and a state senator before becoming a member of the United States Congress. And talk about on point, on topic, his mom is from Ukraine. Congressman Harris co-chairs the House Ukraine Caucus. Of course he does. Congressman Harris, welcome to the Todd Starnes program.
Harry, it's good to be with you.
Good to be with you. What must you be feeling? I mean, for a lot of people, we draw from our decency, our love of freedom, appreciative of everything that we're given by being Americans. I mean, but here your mom is from Ukraine. This is flat out downright personal.
Oh, absolutely, Harry. You know, I remember when we were growing up, her telling us the stories about when she fled what is now Western Ukraine, the Western area of Ukraine around Lviv. And it was the same thing. I mean, the Russians were advancing and you went to the train station and you hoped you could get out in time. And, you know, with the Iron Curtain fell, of course, after she left. She actually left her mother behind, never saw her mother for the next 30 or 40 years while her mother was alive behind the Iron Curtain. But this is where I learned personally what the Russians and the communists are all about.
Wow. What a powerful narrative you just shared, Congressman Harris. I mean, this is real, but it's at a different level for you. In terms of how we're doing, and I want to just give a little quick disclaimer. I'm not somebody that just trashes my president for no reason. I want to support my president, especially in a tight spot. But I am just so discouraged, Congressman Harris, at this leading from behind, late and slow on everything, saying yesterday that I'm going to Brussels in 8 days, 8 days in Ukraine right now, where it's freezing cold, and there's a monster that's medieval bombing indiscriminately. I don't see the sense of urgency. Do you?
Look, I couldn't agree with you more, Harry. Look, the leadership right now is being demonstrated by President Zelensky. And those three heads of state who traveled to Kiev,
yeah,
I guess it was yesterday or today, literally going to the epicenter of where that war is right now to help our allies. Now, that's what real true leadership is, as you say. Not, well, I'll show up in 8 days and maybe the war will still be going on and the Russians haven't won it yet. Everything this administration has done is too little, too late. Every
yes.
single thing.
Yeah, and that's usually a cliche, but that is a fair intellectually honest, exactly perfect description of what's going on here. And we knew this was going to happen. Why didn't we do more? I know this is going to come as no surprise to you. There are a lot of people who did not believe that there'd be any way that Ukraine could be standing right now under the pressure brought by the so-called vaunted Russian military, which I think was exposed as really not what a lot of people thought they were. And I think the Ukrainians have been underestimated. Their grit, resolve, love of country, love of freedom, desire to not be part of Russia. Putin looks at Ukraine and he sees an extension of Russia. They look, it's anathema to them to look at Russia and to think that that would be their homeland. So I believe they wouldn't even have to be armed, even Stephen, but they're 10 to 1 in terms of planes and everything else is like 10 to 1. If we would have properly armed them, they would have won this thing by now.
Look, I agree. You know, the fact of the matter is that, again, we underestimated the resolve of the Ukrainian people. This was an intelligence failure on our part. You know, in Afghanistan, the intelligence failure was they didn't realize how quickly the Afghan forces would fold.
Yep.
And in Ukraine, they didn't understand how resolute the Ukrainian forces and the Ukrainian volunteers are. So you're absolutely right. This is a war fought in winter, the dead of winter in Ukraine. And morale of the fighting forces makes a huge difference. And the young Russian conscripts who thought they were only on a military exercise, now fighting against the people that their own leader claims are their brothers, have no morale. The Ukrainians, on the other hand, they literally my nephew, who's still in Western Ukraine, and of course he can't leave because he's 42, he's a military age. Yep. He went to volunteer for the militia and was told, "We have too many volunteers. We'll put you on a list, but there are too many volunteers." And now, if they had enough arms to arm all their people who want to volunteer, you're absolutely right. This would be a different outcome.
Even though it's like their hands are tied behind their back and they have every disadvantage you could possibly have, and the airspace is open so they can get bombed from far away, anything that's close up, Russia's losing. So they're winning the indiscriminate bombing war of killing women in maternity wards and babies and such. Ken, in your estimation, Congressman Harrison, I cannot believe that we only have a couple of minutes left. Can Ukraine win?
Well, you know, it depends on what the definition of win is. I think that President Zelensky realizes that he's not going to be able to access NATO. I think that's going to be off the table now.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that by agreeing not to have access to NATO, that the Russians will be satisfied at some point and maybe have a ceasefire, but they will never recover Crimea. I don't think they're ever going to recover those eastern provinces. I think even if Russia withdraws at some point, they're going to maintain a presence in those two areas of Ukraine.
In the final minute and a half, let me define a win. And this is not perfect, but I'll get it out real quick. And I'm saying this would be a win in my estimation, if Ukraine is still standing. I know a lot of buildings are flattened, but if Ukraine is still standing and they have their government and not a puppet regime put in by Putin, can that level of victory be achieved?
I hope so. You know, what they can't afford to do is have Russia annex Ukraine, which was threatened last week. And I don't think they can afford to agree to not have a military, to be completely demilitarized. But if they could come away with an agreement where they maintain most of their territory, they maintain their government, they maintain the ability to have a military and agree not to have NATO access, I think that is a win, considering they went up against the Russian bear.
Absolute heartbreak in 30 seconds. What happens to Putin?
Look, I think he loses face, especially with his oligarchs, because I think they're going to be hurting from these sanctions. And that's where his power is derived. It's derived from the oligarchs, not from the people.
I feel like this was an appetizer with you, Congressman Harrison, not a full meal. Until we meet again. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Harry.
Take care. What a what a perfect. I've always said this about Todd. The Todd Starnes Show is one of the most important shows in America. And Grace and the team, what a get. I mean, a man who's in our House of Representatives, whose mother is from Ukraine, and the story that you just heard. And oh, by the way, Johns Hopkins is on his resume as a doctor. I mean, it's, and he's in the People's House. What a win that is. You know, you think about some of the bad examples that we have in the People's House. Well, that's the opposite of that. We'll be back. Please don't go away. A great Senator, Bill Hagerty, is next. It's the Todd Starn Show. Welcome to the Todd Starn Show with Grace and with Claire. I'm Harry Hurley filling in today for Todd. Todd is in California. He has two events. And by the way, while we're on air, but California is being spared right now, Japan has suffered a 7.3 magnitude earthquake, which obviously brings into play tsunamis in other parts of the world. Ruled out is a tsunami for California. So we got your back, Todd. Keeping track of the weather for you. West Coast Baptist College in Los Angeles will be one of Todd's stops. He'll be speaking to students, and then he'll be addressing teens at the Young America's Foundation Conference at the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara. And Todd will be back right here where he belongs on the Todd Starnes Show very, very soon. Appearing now on the Todd Starnes Show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is United States Senator Bill Hagerty, representing the great state of Tennessee. Senator Hagerty's committee assignments include the U.S. Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs, the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. These are big, important committees. U.S. Senate Committee on Appropriations, obviously huge, and the United States Senate Committee on Rules and Administration. Prior to his election to the United States Senate, Senator Hagerty served as the United States Ambassador to Japan, which I just mentioned, the world's third largest economy and America's closest ally in the region. Senator Hagerty, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show.
Very great to be with you today.
Great to be with you, sir. Thank you for your service. What do you think? I've been saying today on the Todd Starnes Show that it's not exactly December 26, 1941, and Winston Churchill speaking before a joint session of Congress and all that he brought when that was, what, the day after Christmas and less than 3 weeks after we were attacked by the Japanese at Pearl Harbor. So I realize it's not that, but it is a monumental moment. What are your thoughts about what President Zelensky of Ukraine delivered today?
Well, this is the second time I've been involved in an engagement with Zelensky. The first time he communicated with us via in a virtual meeting, so we were able to connect and ask questions more directly. But this time, he's doing exactly what the Ukrainian people need him to do. He's reaching out to, you know, the strongest nation in the world and asking for everything that he might possibly need, knowing that he's not going to get all the way to that point, but that by doing so, he's going to move America and perhaps our allies as well in a direction of doing more for him. He made a very compelling case. He's a good communicator. And he also was able to appeal to the emotions of my colleagues, the American people. And I think he's been able to do that around the world. And I'll tell you why. All of us have been locked down now for more than 2 years. We've had our freedom, our liberty taken away from us. And when we see someone stand up to fight for liberty and freedom, it's inspiring.
Yeah.
And he's done a very good job of sort of capturing that moment. At the same time, we need to be focused on what's in America's best interest, too. We've been helping them significantly. They are doing a good job over there. I think it's a far different situation than the one that I suspect Vladimir Putin presented to President Xi back at the opening round of the Olympic Games. At that point, I think everybody believed this would be a 2 or 3 day thing, that the Ukrainians would lay down, that Russia would be able to split NATO in half, get the United States wrapped around its axle, and, you know, that would be a great preview for what China might do to Taiwan. Hasn't worked out that way.
Do you think, Senator Hagerty, that Putin has been exposed here? I mean, I understand there's tremendous grit and resolve with the Ukrainians, but I think a lot of people expected that with his advantage, I mean, you just take airplanes like 1,125 to 125. I mean, he's 10 to 1 on everything. And yet the Ukrainians, I think, based on the competitive disadvantage, they're holding up pretty well. I mean, I know it looks terrible. They're being bombed, you know, by medieval madmen, but I think they're actually surprising a lot of people. What do you think?
Harry, I think you're exactly right. Two things. One, and I think you just hit the nail on the head, the resolve of the Russian people. And, you know, to put it in Tennessee terms, Vladimir Putin bit into a porcupine when he attacked Ukraine. They've turned out to be much more difficult and have a much stronger will. And again, this President Zelensky has been able to inspire his people to fight back, and boy, have they. But the other thing that's happened is there's been a gross miscalculation by Vladimir Putin. Yeah. I think he believes he could just show up and intimidate. With 190,000 troops on the border, he thought there'd be a capitulation. Well, guess what? There wasn't. He's actually had to go on the ground, move on the ground, and what we're seeing on the ground is what I would call industrial institutional rot. You know, this is a country, Russia's supposed to have all this great firepower and great technology. That's not what's being deployed on the ground.
I agree.
My guess is a lot of that great technology was sold on the export markets where they could get hard currency. We're seeing 1970-era tanks rolling into Ukraine, not the latest and greatest equipment. So you've got to also ask yourself about morale on the Russian side. They've already lost, you know, thousands of troops have been killed, and a multiple of that have been injured. You think about their absolute frontline fighting capacity. It's been significantly reduced in just over 20 days. And the longer this goes on, and the longer that our sanctions take hold on the Russian people, I think the Russian populace is realizing that Vladimir Putin is not only waging war on Ukraine, he's waging war on Russia, because the sanctions are starting to bite there, too. American companies, Japanese companies, European companies are all pulling out of Russia. You can't get a McDonald's hamburger or a KFC anymore. You can't get a Toyota there anymore. Things are changing on the ground in Russia and making the political environment, the political calculus for Vladimir Putin quite different than it might have been, say, 3 weeks ago.
It's a great assessment. We're visiting with United States Senator Bill Hagerty of Tennessee, appearing on the Todd Starn Show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. In terms of why I think also Ukraine is beating them on the ground, obviously Russia can bomb from far away and they can cause a lot of damage, and they can bomb maternity wards and other just horrifically just medieval type of strategy, indiscriminate bombing, where Putin doesn't care if he kills women, children, babies. It doesn't matter to him. He's a monster. But on the ground, Ukrainians know why they're fighting. They love their country.
Yes.
They want to be free. They don't want to be Russians. A lot of the Russian soldiers, when they've captured some of them, they're telling them, hey, we don't want to shoot you. We don't even know why we're here. The Russian resolve, I think you said it in so many words, so this is just a sort of a point of emphasis, the Russian resolve isn't there. In some cases, they didn't even know where they were. They were asking Ukrainians how to get to Kyiv. I mean, they didn't even know how to get – I guess they don't even have – GPS in that 40-mile caravan or convoy that didn't move for 10 days or 2 weeks. And I agree with you. Their tires were rotten. They were running out of gas. They're running out of food. The equipment was old. I believe Putin, I'm repeating this, but I think it's worth saying again, Putin was exposed as not having the vaunted military that I believe many in the world thought he had.
Yes. I think you're exactly right, Harry. We've always known it's a third-rate economy. I think John McCain was the one that called it a gas station posing as a country.
Yes.
But they've always had this image of having a great military force. And indeed, they have an extensive nuclear arsenal. I was very upset when Joe Biden went in, and just because Trump was holding off on extending the New START treaty, the nuclear treaty between the United States and Russia, without even looking at the details, I presume, Biden goes in and extends it for 5 years. Let me tell you what that treaty did. The reason President Trump didn't like that treaty was the fact that the treaty encompasses 92% of all of our nuclear arsenal. It only encompasses about 45% of Russia's.
What a deal.
It's not reciprocal. It's not balanced at all. It's much, much in Russia's favor. President Trump wanted to get more of Russia's nuclear arsenal into that agreement to make it reciprocal. Biden extended it for 5 years and got nothing for it. Of course, Vladimir Putin's going to sign it and laugh all the way to the bank on that one. That sort of weakness, you know, demonstrated, I think, an opening to Vladimir Putin. Afghanistan, of course, was the ultimate weakness that made everybody who is a dictator and an authoritarian think that their window of opportunity may be open. And then, you know, Putin has already tested, you know, a cyber attack on America. They did it on the Colonial Pipeline.
Yep.
And no repercussions on that. Instead, what he got was a list of 16 industries that Joe Biden asked him to please not attack. I was just shocked at that. You know, you can imagine someone looking at that list. You can imagine Putin looking at that list and saying, gee, I didn't even think about number nine.
Yeah,
Let's
thanks.
Let's put that on our hit list, too.
Yeah, so you, this is so important to you. This now would be a priority for us.
Yeah, we can reprioritize our list.
Wow, yeah, we didn't even think of these things. Thanks. Thanks for the heads up. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Senator Hagerty, what do you think, as a member of the United States Senate, that Russia, who we are doing all these sanctions to and nobody can do business with them, and the ruble is now worth a penny on the dollar, and they're going down the tubes financially, and banks aren't doing business, and the oligarchs are having their yachts and their New York penthouses taken from them, and all these things that are going on. How does it make you feel that at the same time we're not doing any business with them, including gasoline, no oil from Russia? I'm okay with that, by the way, but we were slow even to do that. But we have Russia negotiating this Iran deal. I find that so objectionable at so many levels that I can't believe that it's true, that it's going on.
It's the apex of naivete to think that we could trust Russia on the one hand to negotiate on our behalf, to represent United States interests at the table with the world's greatest sponsor of terror, Iran. I mean, we're dealing with a thug and a killer in Vladimir Putin and expecting him to negotiate with, you know, international terrorists. The whole thing is just unbelievable. And then you hear that the Biden administration sends a delegation down to Venezuela, you know, led by the murderer Maduro.
Yep.
And they're wanting to negotiate with them to get Venezuela to come to our aid and put more oil on the market. I think they wanted to announce that the Iran deal was going to be good for the energy market because it would put more Iranian oil on the marketplace and somehow have a positive effect on oil prices and perhaps dampen some of the massive inflation that Biden has set off here in America. It is unbelievable that they are arguing and moving down these lanes when what they should do is move away from the negotiating table altogether with Iran.
Of course.
They should get back into the energy business here in America rather than wage war on American oil and gas. They should be supporting it so we could get back into the business again, become energy independent, and be able to come to the aid of our allies.
Before President Biden took office on January 20th, we were basically energy independent and a net oil exporter. Look at us now. Comment.
No, well, it's just unbelievable that the Biden administration has been able to do so much damage in such a short period of time. But every signal that's come from this administration has gone into the marketplace, and it's signaled to investors, don't invest in the oil and gas space. We're going to be hostile to it. It's a signal to producers, you know, you're not going to get a return here, and you're not going to get a fair shake in America by cutting off the Keystone XL pipeline. Look, it wasn't completed at that point anyway, but it sent a message into the marketplace.
Correct.
That had a chilling effect on investment, and it had the almost immediate effect of cutting production. There's no new investment. Oil and gas is a capital-intensive business, and capital has been deprived. That's been their goal. If you look at the fact they shut down Anwar, they've shut down leasing both on land and offshore on federal lands. Every message that they send is that we're not going to support this. Now, the naive thing is that they think that we're going to be able to jump over and go to alternative energy sources. Do you know who makes the solar panels? I know you do.
Yeah, China.
You know who makes the wind turbine panels? It's China.
Yeah.
Again, they're putting us back into a position of dependency on China. We're going to go to electric vehicles. Well, I'm not against electric vehicles at all. But where do you think the lithium comes from? Where do you think the palladium comes from? China and Russia. So this has not been thought through. It's more like a theology or a religion to them. But they have not thought this through the way a business person would think it through. Instead, they've come in, taken knee-jerk actions, and put the United States of America on a terrible path. And in the process, by raising oil prices, not only here in America, but around the globe, they've created a windfall for Vladimir Putin. Putin has been the biggest beneficiary of these energy price increases around the globe because he's one of the biggest producers of energy. That windfall has actually funded the Russian war machine that's being deployed on Ukraine. You can't make this up.
Incredible. We're in the final minute. Senator Hagerty, closing comment in a little less than a minute on how you think this whole thing winds down, Russia, Ukraine. How does it end?
Every day that Russia remains on the ground in Ukraine, bogged down, is a day that Vladimir Putin is weaker. We need to continue with the sanctions. We need to continue with the pressure. And we need to continue to support the Ukrainian people the way we are with stingers and javelins. But I have a great deal of optimism that patience and staying the course right now is going to work very negatively for Putin. It's also going to force President Xi to recalculate his intentions on Taiwan. I hope that happens soon.
Very important. Senator Hagerty, very nice to visit with you.
Likewise.
Take good care. We will be back. Much more important content straight ahead. This is The Todd Starnes Show.
It's The Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show with executive producer Grace and Claire. I'm Harry Hurley, filling in today for Todd. Todd is in California. He's speaking at the West Coast Baptist College in Los Angeles, a second speaking engagement at the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara, California, before the Young Americas Foundation Conference. And this portion of the Todd Starnes Show brought to us in part by MyPillow. And you're going to thank Todd because this is a great towel offer. I don't know if you've experienced this, and this is no shtick for me. I've experienced it. If you don't find the right towel, water repels off of the towel. They're not absorbent. You take a shower, and you can't dry yourself. They just don't seem to dry anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in the stores, but then you get them home, and they just don't absorb. Mike Lindell does what he always does, the founder of MyPillow. He found out long ago, the towels changed. They started importing them. They added different things to them. It made the cotton feel good, but it made the technology not work. He found the best towel company right here in America. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft and actually work. They are all made of USA cotton, which is awesome. And they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. This particular towel offer is a six-piece set. Two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent, that's the key, regularly $109.99, now $39.99. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all of the MyPillow products, including the towels that I've mentioned today on the Todd Starnes Show. Simply enter the promo code STARNES, E at the end, STARNES. That's the promo card code. Enter it for the discount. Or you can call 1-800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. Remember, the promo code is STARNES. All right, I want to get this in. Been trying to get this in for a couple of hours. Got to get it in. The Biden administration is doing something right now that I think you're already aware of it, but let's not leave it to chance. They're using the younger generation. They're doing this in many different ways. They have these oligarchs in the tech media that if they don't like what you put up there, they ghost you. They put you in social media, solitary confinement for hours, sometimes days, sometimes weeks. Sometimes they deplatform you altogether. But they're doing with things like TikTok, the Biden administration, flat out indoctrination, inculcation, propaganda, disinformation campaign. They're blaming Vladimir Putin for staggering inflation and the astronomically high gas prices when anybody willing to embrace the truth knows that runaway inflation and high gas prices are a direct result of Bidenomics, not Putin taxes and Putin gas hike and all of this. We'll be back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Todd, I can testify, because I've chatted with him moments ago, he is listening. So, you know, us mere mortals, when we're at 32,000 feet in the air, we don't have Wi-Fi. But Todd Starnes has Wi-Fi at 32,000 feet. I'm not surprised. This is the Todd Starnes Show with executive producer Grace and Claire. My name is Harry Hurley, a longtime friend of Todd's, and it's a privilege to spend this portion of your day together here on the Todd Starnes Show. It's my pleasure, my privilege indeed, to fill in for Todd. It's a big news day here on the Todd Starnes Show, and we welcome you and thank you for spending this portion of your day here with us on the Todd Starnes Show. I have a list of items that I would love to share with you in this segment. I think they're important, and I think they provide context to what's happening right now in our country, because really all the news for the past 20 days is Ukraine-Russia, and it's understandable because it's significant. But there are some other things going on, and I want to spend a few minutes talking about them. After the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by a very talented writer, Sarah Westwood, political reporter for the Washington Examiner, and she will be appearing on the Todd Starnes Newsmaker Hotline, and we look forward to that portion of the program as well. If you've missed any of today's program, you've missed a lot, so check it out on the Todd Starnes podcast. And a reminder, coming up after the bottom of the hour break on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline on the Todd Starnes Show will be Sarah Westwood, and you'll be very interested in her content. But let me share a few things with you that haven't gotten much attention at all. You might not even know this. For example, I guess it's got to be nice to be the former business partner of Hunter Biden, and I'll tell you why. Devin Archer has not spent any time in prison despite the fact that he was convicted about 4 years ago on securities fraud. And these are not small numbers. I mean, he faces big financial penalties to the tune of about $15 million that he'll have to pay in financial penalties, and more than 40-some million, I think it's like $43 million in restitution. And yet, he is still free. I guess as Bill Ayers once said, guilty as hell, free as a bird. I don't know about you. I haven't heard of an example where you're convicted and almost 4 years goes by and you're not in jail. So, again, maybe I don't believe in coincidences. Maybe it's a coincidence, but I don't know. I don't know. And this I consider not good news. I consider this great news. Someone who was out of the mainstream of American thinking, radical as all get out, Sarah Bloom Raskin withdrew her nomination, or President Biden withdrew the nomination, however you want to put it, because we owe, I will tell you, and one day I'm going to do a P&L on this guy, and some of it you can't do a P&L because what he saved the country from is beyond just financial dollars. But think about what Senator Joe Manchin has meant during this tumultuous time of an evenly divided 50-50 United States Senate that they don't even have 50 Democrats. They have 48 and two independents who organize with the Democrats. They're really Democrats, but they don't call themselves Democrats. So they can't lose one. They need all 50 on everything to get it to Vice President Harris. By the way, she had another rousing performance on the world stage, huh? I don't even have time to get into that. We have too many other items. And if you want to jump in, the phone lines are open on the Todd Starnes Show, 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. So Sarah Bloom Raskin was going to be the vice chair of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors. That is a very key position. And fortunately, and it was only Joe Manchin, she had 49 other votes. This shows you how important every single vote is and how important the run-up to November 8th is. The midterm elections, if you can appreciate the fact that the first midterm, the president's party loses an average of 28 House seats and at least several Senate seats. The House is gone, and the Democrats know it. That's what all this Putin wing of the party and all these lies about that. In other words, things were just perfect, and it's all Putin that raised, you know, the runaway inflation and the price of a gallon of gasoline. I mean, come on, that's as unserious as anything you'll hear. But they're spewing it on a daily basis. The president's press secretary and other mouthpieces of this administration, including, of course, the Democrat media that really should be filing campaign finance documents as in-kind contributors, because it's absolutely abominable how they participate. They don't do journalism anymore. They do Democrat activism. With the evenly split 50-50 Senate and losing just one, the Raskin nomination is done. I have no doubt. You cannot prove what's not going to happen now, but I believe her effort would have been from areas of discouraging banks from lending to oil and gas companies to all kinds of things that would be very, very regressive, high, over-the-top climate change comments about how banks are contributing to climate change. I mean, weird, weird stuff. Insurance companies, other financial firms. So this is not good news on the Todd Starnes Show today, my friends. This is great news. Fantastic news. All right, that's just two of the items. Wall Street Journal has a poll out that's not getting really any traction at all because it doesn't fit the Democrat media narrative. But according to the poll, not since the 1980s, past this prologue again, from Jimmy Carter to Ronald Reagan to most likely Joe Biden to Donald Trump. That's what I think is going to happen. If he runs, he wins. The only way he's not both the 45th and 47th president of the United States will be if he doesn't run. I don't think there's any doubting that. I don't think Biden will run, and there's another poll out that we're going to share in a moment that the American people speak out about that. But listen to this. According to this Wall Street Journal poll, African-American women and Hispanic men are at 44%, the highest number since the 1980s. This is 8 months before the midterm election. If you add things up, 35% of African-American, Hispanic, Asian-American, and other voters who said they were something other than white expressed that the level of inflationary pain compared with 28% of white voters. This inflation is runaway. That's not a pejorative. That is a actual term that's used to describe it, and it's very, very real. So that is bad news. You've got roughly 9 in 10 Republicans who think that the country is headed in the wrong direction. Of course, a certain number of Democrats lie. So 36% of Democrats agree with that. And somehow, 64% want us to believe, that this is good? This is as good as we can be? In another poll that was just released in the last several days, late last week, I think it was, more than half of voters believe that President Biden will not run again. And I don't think he's going to run again. It's not even age. There's biological age and there's chronological age. It's not age. It's what everybody sees and few are willing to talk about. You know the thing. You know this portion of the Todd Starnes Show, brought to you in part by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. The bad guys have gained too much ground. Now more than ever, we need to take a stand for the America that we love and for the values that we share. Todd's friends at AMAC can help you do just that. AMAC is the Association of mature American citizens, and they're standing up for you and the future of America. AMAC is the conservative voice for mature Americans, and they stand up for the causes that all freedom-loving Americans share. By joining AMAC, you'll combine efforts with over 2.3 million members who share your values, and you will receive exclusive benefits like discounts on travel, cell phone plans, and much more. All you have to do is go to AMAC, that's A-M-A-C, AMAC.us/Starnes, E at the end, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, AMAC.us/Starnes, and join or renew today. Todd is a proud member, and for just $16 per year, you can be one too. It's time to protect faith, family, and freedom. Join AMAC today by going to AMAC.us/Starnes. That's AMAC.us/Starnes, and take a stand for America. More.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show with Grace and Claire. Harry Hurley filling in today. Todd is in California. I think he's literally in California now because he was somewhere about 32,000 feet over Utah about a half an hour ago. So I think he has probably landed or just about landed. And he'll be speaking at the West Coast Baptist College in Los Angeles to students. And then he'll be addressing at another event, the Young America's Foundation Conference at the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara, California. So as usual, Todd is very, very busy. We're holding things down. Todd will be back soon. Now, I mentioned in the last segment about understand the Democrats know they know history. They know that when you have the American people in a foul mood like this, that it both very, very bad for them electorally. Their only chance, they're going to yell Trump every chance they get, boogeyman, Trump, 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 every chance they get. They're going to issue some kind of January 6th scathing report, timed just for maximum gain, they believe. I don't think that moves the needle one bit with any American that right now sees their wages not keeping up with inflation. And you need to take out almost a loan to fill up your car at the gas station. So then their co-sort of headliner strategy is Putin. You got to admit, they love Russia. It was Trump-Russia collusion for 5 years until that lie was disproven. And it turns out it's Hillary Clinton and the Democrats colluding with Russia. Because everything they say about you, they are guilty of. 100% of the time. Total transference. It's what they do. They're not good at it. They just have a lot of helpers in the media that help spin it. Here's the truth on the Todd Starnes Show. We don't get enough of that anymore. Todd speaks it, handful of people. But what the American people are getting is a pretty buttoned-down social media platform that if they don't like what you have to say, remember before the last election, if you told the truth about Hunter Biden, you were deplatformed. They have Vladimir Putin still up, but President Trump is down and deplatformed. You can't make this stuff up. It's so insidious. It's so sick. We absolutely need that reform. The next time there's a Republican president, which is probably going to be January 20th of 2025, and a Republican Senate and House, they have to absolutely reform what's going on where free speech is under assault and you can say anything you want from the hard left. How about that? You couldn't tell the truth about Hunter Biden. You couldn't tell the truth about COVID-19. They decided that only one narrative was allowed to be seen or heard. But let me tell you what's really going on. Democrats are preparing. That's why Nancy is looking for the place in Florida. She's getting retired. They are ready for such a whooping in the November 8th midterm national elections. They know it. Their only hope is the Rahm Emanuel strategy of never let a crisis go wasted. And that's what they're doing with Russia-Ukraine. They're trying to reset the Biden presidency. It isn't working because he's not doing a very good job. And he's been late and wrong each step of the way. So that doesn't get you any points. And then they're trying to spin this stuff on TikTok and some of the other platforms to try to turn public opinion to their favor. And they're playing this game that I think I don't go for this kind of thing. I know that politics and elections are not beanbag, but I don't go for this stuff where they don't care. They don't care if they destroy lives. I mean, look at what's happened to people at their hands. They don't care. Their agenda is first, it's last, it's everything in between, and they will do whatever they have to do. They play for keeps. So if they can ruin people like they did in the old days, if they said that you were some kind of communist sympathizer and they put you on a list and then blackballed you from your own industry, your own ability to make a living, this Putin wing of the Republican Party, and you have people like Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney joining in, it's disgusting, it is disgraceful, and it is completely inaccurate. There is nothing about it that is truthful. There's no one out there that's saying anything that would put them in a pro-Putin category. But that doesn't stop. There was a great quote by a national figure, and forgive me, it's actually someone that I've interviewed. I just can't remember who it was. And they said, liars are lying about lying. And that struck me to exactly what is going on. Liars who lie about lying. That was the exact quote. And I remember saying, that's fantastic. It's exactly what they are and who they are and what they are. They're liars who lie about lying. I mean, when gasoline is up a dollar something, we were energy independent and a net oil exporter, and suddenly we're not. And there's all these changing policies. And then they get to say it's all Putin, Putin gas hike, Putin inflation. Sorry, inflation was 8.6% before any of this Russia-Ukraine invasion. So the truth is, Democrats are preparing. They know they've lost the House. They're trying somehow, some way to hold on to the Senate. I don't believe they're going to be able to do that. That's a tougher lift because Republicans have a lot more seats that they have to defend. But that's, they know the truth. Don't listen to what they say. They know the truth. When we come back, it's going to be great. Sarah Westwood, political reporter for the Washington Examiner on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show with executive producer extraordinaire Grace and with Claire. I'm Harry Hurley, filling in today for Todd. Todd is in California at two speaking engagements. He'll be back real soon. And we have standing by, this is really going to be an important part of Todd's program today, appearing on the Todd Starn Show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline, is a very talented political reporter from the Washington Examiner. And we're going to, this will be great, we're going to be talking about two recent columns that Sarah has written. I mean, I have to say, just from my own philosophy of governance, my own spectrum of observation, they're both absolutely positively spot on. And this is going to be a great time that we're going to spend with Sarah. Sarah, welcome to Todd's program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. So I want to go, I'm just picking, you got to pick one. I'm going to start with this one that you've written, titled Last Line of Defense, Seven Times That Joe Manchin Obstructed Biden's Agenda. And I said a little while ago, Sarah, in Todd's program, Joe Manchin has served such an important, he will be a consequential figure with a 50-50 Senate, as you know, 48 Democrats, 2 independents, and the vice president. They have this very tenuous majority that really hasn't worked out for them at all between Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, particularly Joe Manchin. Although Kristen Sinema, I think, doesn't get her due, she's also been important. But Joe Manchin has been such a significant figure because think about the trillions more in spending that we can't afford that would have just gone through. Had he been a functionary order taker, Democrat, there would have been so much more horrifically bad stuff that they would have been able to pass. This column you've written about Senator Manchin is awesome. Comment.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know if it deserves that level of introduction, but certainly I think Senator Joe Manchin has been really an important voice in the party in that he represents arguably a much larger segment of the party than the progressives do, but people who have been getting sent to Congress, particularly in the Trump years, have been increasingly left-leaning. But those people, like AOC or like Rashida Tlaib over in the House, don't really represent nearly as significant a segment of the population or even of the Democratic Party. And
Correct.
So Manchin speaks for millions of Democrats when he stands up to his own party and blocks some of these more ambitious items, like the when the Build Back Better Act was going to cost upwards of $6 trillion, for example, or when there was going to be a lot more in the stimulus plan. All inflation. But Manchin is just such an important voice because even though he is represented as sort of an outlier, and Democrats are, you know, political types are talking about his influence in Washington, he's actually not the outlier. He is representative of the broadest segment of the party.
Exactly. And I know for like 5 minutes, the Biden strategy was they were going to try to scorch the earth with Manchin, and they realized that he's not somebody that you can threaten. And it got real. As you know, I know you're an investigative reporter and a good one. You know, they made it personal for about 5 minutes, and he backed that stuff right the heck down with things that we'll probably hear about one day that we haven't even learned about yet. But they were trying to scorch the earth with Manchin, thinking that that somehow would bring him on board to the team, if you will. And I agree with the other part in this last line of defense and Manchin and what he's meant with the Sarah Bloom Raskin. She would have been, I think you're going to agree, but if you don't, we can have a split decision and still get along fine. She would have been so incredibly radical as the vice chair of the Federal Reserve Board that Joe Manchin was the only thing that could have stopped it, because she would have gotten the other 49. Of course, she would have gotten Vice President Harris's vote, and she would have gone on to the Federal Reserve Board in the number two slot. Do you agree?
I do agree. I mean, there were no other Democrats who had unveiled any opposition to her except for Joe Manchin. And then when Susan Collins, the moderate Republican, came out and also said she wouldn't support Raskin, I think that was sort of the nail in the coffin, because maybe there was an expectation with the White House, it seems that way Monday morning at least, that they could maybe pick off a moderate Republican like a Susan Collins or a Mitt Romney. But when it was clear, you know, it was a no from all Republicans, then that nomination was dead. But I think it's an important point about why Manchin opposed Sarah Bloom Raskin. It was primarily because of her past statements about climate change policy and how financial tools should be used to sort of reshape the way the economy looks at its energy portfolio. And even though there were other objections to her about, for example, some of the sort of revolving door elements of her work in the private sector, it was that energy policy that Manchin focused on. And he is such an important voice in the Democratic Party, speaking for, you know, the working people of his party who depend on more or less the status quo of the energy sector continuing. He has really curbed, in particular, the ambitions of the progressives who are pursuing this green energy agenda. And that's what we saw with this nomination as well.
We are visiting with an investigative reporter from the Washington Examiner on the Todd Starnes Show on the Newsmaker Hotline, Sarah Westwood, appearing on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline on the Todd Starnes Show. And see if you like this. And you do talk about it, but I'm going to come at it from a little different direction. I like everything you wrote about the American Rescue Plan. I agree with all of it. And I would ask Todd's listeners, get the article. It's easy to find. And you're going to see some really bright content. But I think the American Rescue Plan was so significant. Now, it was an expensive situation based on what I'm about to say. But I believe by voting for $1.9 trillion in the stimulus package, Manchin provided cover to himself going forward, that he could be opposed to Build Back Better because he didn't get it. I think that strategically, and a lot of people got all lathered up, oh, we shouldn't have let even that pass. I think that gave cover and prevented much more onerous and expensive spending that would have taken place. Your comment?
I think that's entirely possible. I mean, also think back to the context in which that bill was passed. It was a time when the idea of continuing to provide stimulus checks and continuing to provide support for cities and states because of COVID restrictions was still relatively bipartisan. I mean, this was a bill that was heavily Democratic and ended up being a partisan bill. But the narrative around COVID relief was not nearly as politicized as it is today, because a year ago, you know, we were only 1 year into the pandemic as opposed to more than two. And Donald Trump had only recently also pushed for stimulus checks and also pushed for COVID relief funding and had done so on multiple occasions in the year 2020, in the last year of his presidency. So this wasn't viewed at the time as some sort of huge windfall for liberal spending, even though in hindsight, it ended up being a big mistake from an economic standpoint because it touched off this round of inflation that we're seeing. And that's something that's sort of
yes.
a product of consensus from economists on both sides of the aisle. But at the time, when Manchin voted for that, it wasn't nearly as politically toxic as the vote he was later asked to cast.
It's true.
Back better.
And even a few Republicans voted for it. That was a very, very accurate, very smart analysis. I want to do one more in this story, although we could spend the whole segment. But I want to go to this second column because it is so spot on. I'm going to skip to voting rights. It's one of Manchin's greatest contributions. The Democrats were looking to put voting changes in that I believe would have prevented a Republican from winning a national election for the foreseeable future, if not for the forever, for the longest time. Manchin stopped that from the draconian things that they were going to try to make happen. Manchin got in the way of that as well, and I think saved the day in terms of national elections in particular.
Yeah, I think there's two points to be made about that. One is that the voting rights fight was sort of used as the justification by Democrats for this separate but arguably more significant fight to get rid of the filibuster. And starting last summer, Democrats started agitating for removing the filibuster so they could pass voting rights. And Manchin said no to both of those things.
Yep.
Not only did he say that the voting rights bill was so broad in scope that it had little to do, actually, with voting reform and election reform because it contained all of these other campaign finance rules that would have arguably been, you know, even more significant in changing how politics works. And he also made an important point when he came out formally with his opposition to the voting rights legislation, which is that Democrats were sort of selling a very misleading picture of this bill as the answer to national divisions and what they describe as threats to our democracy. And Manchin, yeah. in that op-ed that he wrote in the West Virginia paper, came out and sort of said, look, if we change the rules of elections on a partisan basis without buy-in from Republicans, then we're no better than the Republicans who we claim are the threat. You know, if you approach this from a politicized standpoint, that's only going to make the problem you claim to be fixing worse. And so he sort of defeated the liberal impulses on both of those things, voting rights and the filibuster.
Spot on, Sarah. Sarah Westwood, investigative reporter from the Washington Examiner, appearing on the Todd Starnes Show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Let's get to the second column because it is so incredibly accurate, titled Blue Cities and States Keep COVID-19 Restrictions even as country eases. So we hear even the White House understands that at some point you have to say it's no longer a pandemic. We're now in the endemic phase. It's going to be around. And there's never, as you know, you've done a lot of work on this topic. There's never been a coronavirus ever cured. The common cold is a coronavirus. It's never been cured. You treat. I'm not downplaying. I know a lot of people died, and I'm very mindful of what was real and what became just very opportunistic politics. But the blue cities and states that just worship the cult of their, the, almost a religion of all of this, I thought we were supposed to follow the science, Sarah. I guess not.
Some blue states and cities are clinging to some of their restrictions. But what the point that I sort of made in the piece that I wrote, and what I think is an important one, is that because Democrats are seemingly only rolling back these restrictions because of the change in the political winds.
That's right.
And not because they necessarily personally believe that the restrictions should be rolled back. They're leaving some in place while taking others off in response to political pressure and not in response to, as you sort of alluded to, any shift in the science, because the science really hasn't shifted. And so it creates a really confusing patchwork of rules. Like the really high-profile example from over the weekend was that Kyrie Irving, who is a basketball player on the Brooklyn Nets, was allowed to go sit in the audience at Barclays Arena and watch his teammates play, but he wasn't allowed to join them.
Correct. Because he was considered a worker. He was considered a worker.
Right.
Yeah, it's silly. It's unserious. And I think the other thing, Sarah, that really caught up to the Democrats on this, they were so duplicitous and completely dishonest about it, because whether it was Nancy Pelosi in the salon or Lori Lightfoot or any example, Joe Biden in Newport, Rhode Island, or rather Nantucket. Let me take that back. I was watching a great show about Newport, Rhode Island last night, which I do love, by the way. But Nantucket, when he was with his billionaire pal, and he's at the store, and there's a big sign. It's a great photo. You saw it, where it says you must wear a mask, and he's there not wearing a mask. They were so dishonest and fake. But then for the cameras, I mean, even when he was on a Zoom call, he had a mask on, but not when he was in public at a store where they said to wear a mask. I think, Sarah, they got busted for being just completely dishonest.
Right. I mean, they would impose rules that were quite obviously difficult for anyone to follow.
Right. And they didn't follow them themselves.
Exactly. And I think another important point to make is that despite claiming for months and months that all of these restrictions, including my favorite example, masks in school, were medically necessary to keep people safe. And for a while, people were willing to go along with that because there was not a great understanding of how coronavirus worked.
Yeah.
But after all of those months went by, they still were unable to produce any compelling evidence that those things were in any way effective.
And hey, Sarah, 30 seconds to a hard break. Closing comment. I just want to make sure you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I think the closing comment is just that the science didn't really change. It's the politics surrounding it, and Democrats are responding to that.
And you nailed it on both pieces. Good to visit with you, Sarah. Continued success.
Thank you.
You're welcome. When we come back, closing thoughts, more important content, because this is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
What a pleasure. It has been a privilege to sit in for Todd today. Todd is in California. He has two important speaking engagements. He'll be back in the very near future. And I want to thank executive producer Grace and Claire and the entire team at Todd Starnes Media for the opportunity to work with you yet again. You're such a great professional bunch to work with, and it's flown by in the blink of an eye. I thought a nice way to take this out would be not one, but two Cuomo stories. Somehow, some way, former Governor Andrew Cuomo is in the news. I'll share that in a second. And his brother, the former CNN media person, Chris Cuomo, is in the news. The Cuomo brothers. I made a prediction a long time ago. Andrew Cuomo is not going away, and I predict he's going to run for something again. I don't know if it's attorney general to settle scores, if it's governor again, whatever it will be, he's running again for something. And I also knew when Chris Cuomo did not get the settlement that he thought that he deserved and his contract honored, that he would strike back hard, and he has. Let's start with the former governor. The report has been released by the New York State Comptroller, Thomas DiNapoli, and this was released yesterday. And it concluded that former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, his administration, failed to reveal an account for 4,100 nursing home deaths. See, I never understood that. We should have learned from Washington State in the very beginning when some of the earliest cases were in the Washington Senior Assisted Living Home. Should have never, ever. And then, of course, I used to refer to Governor Cuomo as the president of the Northeast Governors, so they all followed the strategy without proper ventilation and social distancing. These facilities were not able to take COVID-positive people back into residential general population without creating absolute super spreader activity to the most vulnerable. I always said regarding COVID-19, we should have taken care of the most vulnerable instead of locking everybody down and destroying one-third of businesses forever around the country that will never come back. They locked everybody down instead of taking care of the most vulnerable. And the Shortcliffe notes for little brother Chris, and I say that because he's Andrew's little brother. I'm not calling him little. He has launched what looks to be a $125 million arbitration litigation demand against his former employer, CNN. On behalf of the entire team at the Todd Starnes Show, Grace, Claire, thanks for everything. This is the Todd Starnes Show.